How should Lutherans respond to the assertion, your church is too Catholic? Find out in Pastor Will Wheaton's column in the latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joshua Pauling traces his path from big box evangelicalism and Reformed Calvinism to the treasures of historic Christianity found in the Lutheran Church, the free online Issues Etc. Journal.
What's called woke culture and what's called innocence signaling, it's actually virtue signaling. There's an attempt to show the world that I'm pure.
Social justice is not compatible with a biblical commitment. CRT, critical race theory, is not compatible with a biblical commitment at all. And neither is liberation theology.
And Jesus invites us, come on and be Lazarus now. Don't worry about it. I've got the end covered. You need to worry about not being the rich man. Now, and remember, the mark of the rich man was he despised the words. He would not listen to them.
Topics you can really sink your teeth into. That's why Iowa dentists love Issues Etc.
Most Christians are familiar with the verse John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. We don't usually associate it with giving to the church, but apparently John Gray, pastor of Relentless Church, does associate it strongly with giving to his church. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll do This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Rosebro talking about megachurch pastor John Gray's teaching on John 3:16 and giving money to his church. Then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You can vote in advance for the soundbites at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or wait and give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Ad Crucem has produced a wide assortment of Easter greeting cards. You can check them out at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com. Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us for This Week in Pop Christianity to talk about megachurch pastor John Gray's teaching on John 3:16 and giving money to his church. Chris is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
In a typical big box or mega church, if you go to that church, how much of an emphasis are you going to hear Sunday to Sunday on giving to the church?
I'm going to put it out there. I will defend what I'm about to say, and that is that you hear more about giving than you do about what Christ has done for you on the cross. You're going to hear more about the need to offer to God tithes and offerings and to sow seed in order to receive breakthrough. That's always kind of the caveat. That you're going to hear more about that any given Sunday collectively than you're going to hear actually that Jesus bled and died for your sins and the free gift of eternal life that we have in Jesus Christ. It's hands down. There is no comparison. It is night and day. You're always every week going to hear about the importance to give.
Who is John Gray and what is Relentless Church?
Okay, John Gray is a fellow who was put onto the map in evangelical preachers by Joel Osteen. He was on staff as one of the teaching pastors at Lakewood in Houston under Joel Osteen, and he would oftentimes preach the Wednesday night services. Because of his connections with Joel Osteen, he was then noticed by Oprah, and for a while he had a reality TV show that appeared on Oprah's network, and he's extremely well known within evangelicalism as a result of that. And then a few years back, he became the head pastor at a church that was already established by Ron Carpenter. And they've had legal problems ever since. There were certain agreements that were supposed to take place that didn't take place. But upon arrival, changed the name to Relentless Church and has been the head pastor since.
So what are we going to hear first from Pastor John Gray?
All right. In this segment, we're going to note that John Gray, the text for the sermon that we're hearing is going to be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And in our understanding of the proper distinction of law and gospel, this is one of the pinnacle texts in Scripture that lays out for us the gift of eternal life in God's love. This is a gospel text. So the first thing we're going to hear is him reading this out, but already in the setup, you can tell his intention is not to preach the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, but something else.
We are in the intentional series. We're going to be here for at least 2 months. Everybody say intentional. And today's sermon title is Intentional Generosity. I want you to go to John chapter 3, starting at the 13th verse. John chapter 3, starting at the 13th verse. This is a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. It happened at night because Nicodemus did not want to be seen in public with Jesus. And many of us have a private DM level relationship with Jesus because we don't want people to know that we really need him. And I'm grateful that we don't have those people here, but there are people who will attempt to access Jesus in private places, but don't want to publicly acknowledge him because he's not good for your brand. He's not good for the circle of people that you want to be accepted by. And it is strange that you want to be accepted by less than the one who accepted you. I'm trying to preach it already. John 3:13, these are the words of the Lord Jesus, and they are worthy of honor. So if you have the ability to stand, I ask that you please do. These are the words that are recorded. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The title of the message is Intentional Generosity. You may be seated.
Okay, I do want to give him credit for actually reading out a text for a sermon. That's exceedingly rare in these kind of churches. What has he already said that gives you some concern about what he might say about John 3:16?
Well, the name of the sermon is Intentional Generosity. And so already we've got a problem because, like I've pointed out, this is a great text. And even its cross-reference in Numbers chapter 21 is amazing in the types and shadows, you know, Christ likening himself to the serpent that was created by Moses and then put up on a pole so that people who would look to it would live it rather than die if they were envenomated by a fiery serpent. I mean, the gospel themes here are rich, but you can tell by what he's doing here and his focus that his intent is not to placard Christ, not to proclaim the forgiveness, grace, mercy, the fact that we do not have to face God's condemnation because of what Christ has done for us. Instead, intentional generosity. Well, generosity is one of those evangelical buzzwords that always has to do with tithes and offerings. And so you can already tell that really where he's going to head here is almost kind of like a guilt trip. Well, God is generous. Why aren't you? You can just feel it coming already.
And why is that not the way to read and apply any gospel text?
Because when we talk about the proper distinction of law and gospel, we begin with the understanding that the law of God in all of the passages that are law passages tell us what God is requiring of us. But gospel texts always tell us what God has done for us, done for us in Christ. And if you somehow take God's generosity and then flip it to something that you've got to do now, then what you're doing is you're robbing people of the comfort, the assurance that they need of the forgiveness of their sins and a right standing before God as a gift by Him. And you're taking that away. You're sucking all the gospel out of it, and you're turning it into now something that I've got to do. And so the emphasis comes back onto me, and then you lose comfort, you lose assurance, and you start bringing into the equation fear and doubt regarding your relationship with God, because immediately the question comes up, well, if God gave so much, if I don't give enough, will I be able to stand before God? It creates that uncertainty monster within us and feeds it, rather than giving us the assurance that we have and the confidence that comes from the gospel preached to us.
So it essentially turns the gospel into a quid pro quo.
Yeah, God did this, therefore you got to do that. And if you're not given enough, if you're not given the best, if you're not given till it hurts, then, you know, you're not giving in accordance with the way God has given. It really is just one of these things that will devastate people if they listen to this kind of preaching and really truly take it to heart.
Okay, what is next?
So next, he's going to start to crack open his theological theme here. And as we're listening to this, I want you to listen to how he explains that the reason he is given, the reason he is sacrificing, is in order so that he can receive breakthrough from God.
On the surface, this scripture may not immediately bring to mind the idea of generosity when thinking of scripture and the contemporary context of church giving. Next week, 1 week from today, we will bring our first fruits offering to the Lord. First fruits offering to the Lord. It is a once a year gift above and beyond our tithe and offering that you and your family pray about, ask the Lord, and then you all make a decision. Everybody say, it's my decision. You make a decision on what you want to give above your tithe and offering. John chapter 3 talks to me about the power of generosity. As I said, normally we talk about generosity because when you're doing something like first fruits, oftentimes, even with offering, because there's something in us that just gets afraid when we think about somebody taking something from us. And we see offering as a moment of loss, as opposed to what it actually is, which is an opportunity for expansion. Perspective is everything. Offering is not a moment of loss. It is an opportunity for expansion. This message will not be long, but it will be powerful and it will be life-changing. Stay with your boy for just a moment. First fruits is a one-time gift. Elder, and I'm coming to the house this week because I just want you to encourage me in the Lord. I just feel like God wants to speak about this next week because I'm believing God for some things in my own life, for my children, for my family, for my health. But I'm going to continue to make other sacrifices along with the rest of the congregation because I'm believing God for breakthrough, if that's all right with you.
So how does this concept that we hear so often from the evangelical wing of breakthrough tie into his appeal for money?
So the best way I can describe, we've talked about the doctrine of breakthrough in previous episodes. A good way to kind of sum up this idea is that evangelical and charismatic pastors use the concept of breakthrough. And what they mean by that is, what is your current high anxiety pain of the moment? Do you need a new job? Do you need a raise? Do you need your children to return to the Lord? These are the kinds of things. And they hold it out kind of stick and carrot fashion, if you would. And the idea then is that you then give, and you give sacrificially to God financially. You sow for the purpose of believing God for your breakthrough. And the idea then is that the level of your giving, the posture of your heart, the amount that you give, how sacrificial it is and how much it hurts to give it, then prompt God to finally release to you the breakthrough that you are asking for. And in reality, despite all their efforts to deny that they're giving money in order to get from God, that is exactly what they are doing.
How intense is the pressure in these events like our First Fruits Giving Sunday that he talked about in that clip? How intense is the pressure on those who will show up the next Sunday to try and impress God with what they're giving?
The pressure is going to be ginormous. If we were kind of put this on a scale here, you know, so if you've ever had to sit through a sales pitch regarding a timeshare, at the end of it, they really put a lot of pressure on you. So there's timeshare pressure, but somewhere about 10 levels higher than that is the type of pressure that you receive from a megachurch pastor. And here's the understanding then you got to get, is that because they teach a form of the prosperity heresy, it is imperative that the pastor in his life, in his trappings, in the watches that he wears, the clothing that he wears, the shoes that he's wearing, the cars that they drive, that they exemplify this idea that you give in order to get. So they have to be at the top of the Ponzi scheme. I would note that John Gray, back in December of 2018, came under a lot of fire and criticism because he gifted his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini. He gave it to her as an anniversary gift, $200,000. And John Gray is also a fellow who is very well known for wearing Rolex watches and other things and putting it out so that people can see it. So the idea then is that he is the example of you give in order to get, you know, and by his lifestyle and the things that God has apparently blessed him with, it proves that you give to get. So the pressure is on. And I would note, on top of the huge amount of money that he makes annually as a pastor of a megachurch, these megachurches are extremely expensive to run. It is the, we use the term church as loosely as possible. This is the most expensive way that you could potentially do church. The necessary security, people who run the cameras, the people who run the soundboard, to the set design, to the jumbotrons that fill the whole stage. I mean, we're talking annually, easily tens of millions of dollars every year just to keep the production running. That's the, you know, it's like a perpetual Broadway musical, if you would. And so they constantly have a huge bill to pay in order to do church in this way. And so as a result of that, the pressure they put on people, you've got to tithe, you've got to give offerings on top of it. This is our first fruits. Give and sow seed for the, so that you can believe for your breakthrough and God's going to bless you. Always and again, the promises are there that if you give, you're going to get. And like you said, like I've been saying, the pressure is ginormous.
It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, megachurch pastor John Gray's teaching on John 3:16 and giving money to his church. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest of Fighting for the Faith. Thanks to Luther Academy, two volumes of the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series are now available in Spanish. Learn more about Luther Academy at lutheracademy.com. Serving Lutheran pastors and lay people to the ends of the earth, lutheracademy.com. We'll hear more from megachurch pastor John Gray right after this.
St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 that the Gentiles are without God in the world and without hope.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Now that's an amazing statement. It means that to be without God is to be without hope, and the corollary, to be with God is to have hope. Christians are marked by this. We have hope. And we have hope not only in this life, but we have hope in the life to come. Our Christian hope expands past death, past the last day, even to the resurrection of the body, the new heaven and the new earth where the righteous dwell. We have this extended horizon of hope, and we dwell under that cloud of glory.
You can meet and hear Pastor Wolf Miller making the case for Christian hope at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Superstition is the belief that one event caused an unrelated event. It's often tied up with false beliefs about God and how He works in the world. Is there really such a problem with superstitions? Is there really such a problem with saying knock on wood or good luck? Explore this and more in the March issue of The Lutheran Witness. We will talk about scientism, superstition, New Age, and so much more. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
We don't want the word to get out that we want to completely exterminate the Negro population. That's a Margaret Sanger's quote. So that was right when she was starting Planned Parenthood, and that was the goal, that was the intent.
I want to be the rich man now, and I want to be Lazarus later. Can't we arrange this, Lord? You know,
and Jesus invites us, come on and be Lazarus now. Don't worry about it. I've got the end covered.
We really do know a lot more about the virus biology, how it spreads, and how it causes disease.
What needs to be overcome, though, is the way in which this is working itself out. By picking a particular group, for the moment, the white heterosexual male, and saying he's responsible for all the sins of the world.
In about 10 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's an Ad Crucem baptism keepsake, the I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. pen, bumper sticker, notepad, and tote bag in about 10 minutes. Vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Send us a vote via Twitter at issuesetc or an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or wait and give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about megachurch pastor John Gray teaching on John 3:16 and giving money to his church with Pastor Chris Roseborough. Chris, what's next from John Gray?
So now he's going to give us a little bit more of his understanding of John 3:16. And the best way I can describe what we're going to hear is this is going to be a John 3 generosity browbeating.
Before we come next week with our gifts, I just needed to remind you of the ultimate gift that was given to you. And why we give first fruits is because God gave his first fruit first. Jesus was not the third born son. Jesus was not one of 50,000 just random. There's a difference between the offering of Cain and the offering of Abel. That's why one was rejected and the other was received. Cain gave some stuff he got out of the ground, most likely what was left over after he took what he wanted. But Abel gave the first fruits, the fatling. He gave the best animals, the best cuts of meat. And God says, that's somebody who understands who I am. Don't give God anything out of fear, because that's not what he wants. He wants you to give it because you love him, because he's been good to you, because he's provided for you, because he makes a way for you. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. That's what it says. Generosity. Somebody say generosity. He gave his only begotten son. He gave the one of a kind. He gave the unique, rare gift. There ain't gonna never be another Jesus. And he gave his only one. He gave perfection for relationship with the flawed. He gave up eternal intimacy for the potential of a conversation with you. You gotta schedule a meeting with your supervisor. But you can walk into the presence of the eternal God anytime you want because of what Jesus did. Talk about generosity. You can't even speak to your congressperson without scheduling a meeting. You can't even get a... You can't even schedule an oil change for your car without an appointment. But you and I can walk into the Holy of Holies and talk to God one-on-one. And you telling me he's not generous? You ought to give God a praise right now while you sitting there looking at me.
So, Chris, I'm curious because he did say you should not give anything out of fear. And I think the Apostle Paul has a similar statement. Do not give anything out of compulsion. Each man must decide for himself what is right in his mind. How is what he was saying there different from how the Apostle counsels us regarding giving?
So in this particular case, earlier in the sermon, and we didn't have time with the sound bites, he makes an appeal to the book of Revelation, which is part of the Mosaic Covenant, and says because in Leviticus, I think chapter 23, you know, they are required to give a first fruits offering. We're required to give our first fruits offering as well. That's a confusion of the covenants that we're under. We're not under the Mosaic Covenant. We're under the New Covenant. But you're going to note here, although he makes an appeal and says God doesn't want you to give out of fear, you'll note that, again, it's carrot and stick here. It's, you know, it's a carrot being dangled, your breakthrough. And see, the reason why God gave his son is an example for you to follow now regarding your first fruits offering, which we're all going to be doing next week. And you'll note that he's preaching this 1 week before the actual first fruits offering is to be received as a way of prepping the people, priming the pump. And he gave them quite the guilt trip. You know, God is generous, and the implication is you better be generous too. And nowhere in this sermon, and I listened to it in its entirety, does he proclaim Christ and him crucified for our sins. The only time where you actually get the gospel is when he read out the text, but he makes no effort to focus in on the focus of that actual passage and what Christ was saying and the good news that is there for us. Instead, everything, well, God's generous, you better be generous too. God loves you, so you better love him back and be generous as well. This is a guilt trip. This is nothing more than that. And unfortunately, it's a misappropriation and an abuse of this text to use it in this fashion.
All right. I want to get into how you rightly understand Christian giving in a minute, but I'm curious where this leaves the average parishioner there at, what is it called, Relentless Church. The next week they come in and some guy says, okay, we're just going to empty half our bank account and we're going to give to God and I've done my part now. Where does that leave such a person spiritually?
In grave danger, because they've given under the pretense that then they're going to receive from God. And God is not beholden to honor these promises because he hasn't made them to people, not under the new covenant. So as a result of this, that person who's emptied his bank account and then hears about the extravagant gifts that John Gray is purchasing now for his wife and his children, for himself and other things. And while that person has now gone without, maybe they can't go to college that year, or maybe their life savings has taken a hit, or maybe they've had to cut back and not go on vacation this year or downsize their house. What it does is it embitters them and makes them feel like they've been conned. And the reason they feel that way is because they have. But the other part about it is that it leaves them susceptible to believing that somehow Christianity isn't true and that the whole thing is some kind of a money scheme. And as a result of it, they abandon the faith altogether. It's just a matter of time because over and over again, their pressure is put on them to give. And I would note at Relentless Church, the first fruits offering comes around once a year. It's always at the end of January, beginning of February. It comes around once a year. And so when they're financially trying to get back on their feet after giving so generously, it comes around again and all the pressure is put on them and the demand by God. If you want to get breakthrough from God, you've got to give. You got to give.
Okay, then with a minute, for the person who says, well, I ain't showing up next Sunday. And where are they left?
Well, again, this whole thing is a confusion of law and gospel. If they avoid coming to the thing altogether, they'll just get more sales pitches, you know, week after week. But here's the thing is that scripture is very clear that we are not under the Mosaic covenant and the command to tithe, nor are we under the command to offer up our first fruits. That's not the concept. The idea is that scripture is very clear that God wills that those who preach the gospel make their living by the gospel, which means that we are to provide for our pastors so that they can put food on the table for their family, that put a roof over their head, that, you know, have the cars that they need to get kids to school and to soccer and other things like this, and be able to save up for college. But the command in scripture is, you know, when it comes to pastors, the one that the Apostle Paul uses has nothing to do with the tithe. It's about not muzzling the ox while he's treading out the grain. The idea here is you think of your pastor, according to scripture in the new covenant, as the beast of burden of the congregation. And you got to make sure that your beast of burden is fed and properly cared for. That's the idea. And when you do this, then you recognize that people are free to give 10%, 4%, 5%, 2%, whatever they've set aside in their heart. Scripture in the New Testament doesn't condemn anybody for what they give. And then you'll note then that the most needy among us, they shouldn't be giving at all. The church should be the ones providing for them. And in these mega churches, it's always the legalistic tithe and the first fruits, and you give in order to get. And even if you're financially strapped, you are pressured to give. Whereas it's, biblically in the New Testament, it's those who are in need who are receiving from their brothers and sisters in Christ, and they are under no compulsion to give. It's a completely different paradigm altogether.
Then with about a minute here, what is the proper interpretation of the verse that he used, John 3:16?
It's the good news that God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. That's you and me, because we have earned by our sinful rebellion against God the wrath of God and an eternity in hell. Instead, what God does is the most unexpected thing ever. He sends his only begotten son, who then takes our sin upon himself, and that anyone who believes in him, he gives forgiveness of sins and eternal life freely as a gift. And that's the idea behind the text. And it comforts us because we recognize that we are sinners. We've earned God's wrath. But God, rather than giving us what we have earned, he instead gives us forgiveness, mercy, and grace, all for the sake of Christ. That's what that text is about.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to Fighting for the Faith at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Chris, thanks.
Thank you.
On the other side, we're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That means you need to get ready to listen to the soundbites and give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. You can help new Christians or those curious about the true Easter miracle with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, A Simple Explanation of Easter. These booklets are sold in packets of 20, making them perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in-church pews. Find out more about A Simple Explanation of Easter at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, A Simple Explanation of Easter.
What does it mean to live the Christian life? Reaching out in mercy to our neighbors, receiving our Lord's gifts in worship, and proclaiming His truth to the world. The Lutheran Church Extension Fund comes alongside churches and individuals to help them live out this beautiful Christian life every day. This year, we have a ripe opportunity to bring Christ to a hurting world. Discover the role you can play in this great work. Call 800-843-5233 or visit lcef.org.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Eric Lang of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon. One thing I've asked of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Mount Hood, Multnomah Falls, the Oregon coast. Oregon is beautiful, but nothing compares to the beauty of the Lord's house. If you are vacationing in the Portland area, please come join us at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one. For more information, go to wheretheliturgylives.org.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.